The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
May the word of God be on my mind, on my lips, in my heart. My brothers and sisters, this reading comes to us from the Holy Gospel according to John. On the evening of the first day of the week, when the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jewish authorities, Jesus came and he stood in their midst. And he said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger into his nail marks, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Now, a week later, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, although the doors were locked, and he stood in their midst, and he said, "Shalom, peace be with you." And then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and bring your hand and put it into my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believe." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you come to believe because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book, but these are written that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that through this belief you may have life in his name. My brothers and sisters, the gospel of the Lord. You know, there they were, a week later after Easter, they're still behind closed doors. When they saw him a week before, they're still afraid a week later. After they saw him resurrected. What's the matter with these guys? Wouldn't you, you know, believe and not have any fear from there on in? Or maybe you don't. I don't know. But I find this stunning that here, a week later after Easter Sunday, when we celebrate the risen Christ, we find all the disciples still standing behind, still hiding behind closed doors. So once again, Jesus appears to them, and this time Thomas is present, and Thomas, who like his fellow disciples, he needed to see in order to believe in the risen Lord. I have seen, that's a code word in the scriptures. I've seen the Lord. As you know, as soon as Thomas sees, just as when the disciples saw, just as when Mary Magdalene saw, they believed that Jesus was the risen Christ. But it seems clear that it wasn't enough just to see and believe. It wasn't good enough for followers to hold up in the upper room day and night and tell each other that they believe. "Hey, do you believe?" "Yeah, I believe." "You believe?" "Hey, yeah, wonderful, isn't it wonderful?" "Hey, you believe?" "Yeah, I do too." "Yeah, I do." "Yeah, hey, let's all just slap each other on the back. Hey, we all believe." Yeah, no. Jesus wanted them to do something more. So what does he say to them? He says, "Just as the Father sent me, so I send you." Earlier in Luke's gospel, that's what Jesus tells us he comes for, to, 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 in order, because he was sent by God to proclaim God's kingdom. That's the reason why he came. So now you must do it. They needed to get to work building up God's kingdom, God's reign, God's shalom, if you will, here on earth as Jesus was doing it, because he showed them how to do it. John's gospel, he has all those signs. He has all these, the miracles aren't miracles, they're signs. He calls them signs. They have all these signs for us. And if you read his gospel, you can see the sign, 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 oh, it's a sign, sign, this is a sign. And finally, you get to the end, he said, this has been, you know, now that you've seen this, now you can come to believe. You've seen the sign. Now this is the greatest sign. Now go and do likewise. But, you know, they're supposed to do what Jesus did. But he taught them to preach, to teach, to heal, to forgive, to show mercy. But now things were different when they went to the temple, because they still went to the temple after this to pray, you know, because this was in the 30s, and the temple wasn't destroyed until the 70s, so the early Christians, they weren't Christians, they were Jews, they were going to the temple. And so when they went to the temple, things were different now. This difference is tied to a particular line that you hear every year on Palm Sunday. And you heard it this past Palm Sunday if you went to church. It's the Passion of Matthew. Do you remember what he said? Matthew says, just as Jesus is giving up his spirit, what does he say? He tells us, he says, behold, the veil of the sanctuary was torn from top to bottom. Remember that line? It was torn from top to bottom. I always remember that when I was in studies and what it was explained to me, what it was all about. You know, that, I've said this before, maybe you heard me say this before, but that curtain, you know, wasn't like your everyday living room curtain. This temple veil was 4 inches thick, and it had a height of 70 feet. I don't know how high that is, higher than that. Window maybe? 70 feet tall. Anyways, and it weighed 4 tons, and it required 300 priests to carry it in place. And that was torn from top to bottom. Now, the purpose of the curtain was to do what? This is important. To do what? To separate, to define what's holy and what's not holy. That's what it was for. The Latin word for temple is farnum. And everything outside the temple was called the profanum, which we get our derivative of what? The word profane. Therefore, there was no longer any separation between what is holy and what is unholy. With the tearing down of the veil, there was no more profanum. There's no such thing as profane anymore. Rather, everything is now farnum. Everything is now holy. The temple, you're the temple, you're the temple. All of creation and everywhere is holy, and everyone is holy. You see, Christ's crucifixion, death on the cross, ended the division of who was deemed to be, by us humans, to be holy and unholy. Who was to be in and who was to be out. Who is worthy and who's unworthy? My brothers and sisters in Christ, it is in the death and the resurrection of Jesus the Christ that his disciples and that each one of us is called to continue to proclaim God's dream for all of God's people. One only has to focus on the core of today's gospel for that to become clear. You know, when Jesus appeared to Thomas and the disciples that they gathered in that upper room, He didn't ask him, hey, go take retribution on those son of a bees. I'm cleaning up my language pretty good. Those prosecutors of mine, go get them. He didn't say that. No, he didn't say to start a just war, as if there is such a thing as a just war on my oppressors. No, he didn't ask them to start a religion. He didn't ask them to go write a book of canon law. He didn't ask them to go out and build cathedrals or basilicas. And he certainly didn't ask them to go out and decide who was worthy and who's unworthy. No, the risen Christ sent his disciples forth from that upper room with the gift and the graces of the Holy Spirit. And he told them to do one thing. What was that one thing he told them? I just read the story to you. You're not following me? What was that one thing? Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, right? And whose you retain are retained. That's what I think I said. That's the story. He told them to go forth and forgive others just as he had done it. I mean, my God, he forgave them while he was on the cross. Forgive them, Father, they know not what they're doing. And so he shows them, he gives them direction, and he empowers them. And it was given to every single one of the disciples, and they included the woman. It wasn't just the men apostles, and there wasn't just 12 of them. And it wasn't certainly just for priests. You know, the risen Christ reminds us that all of us are to forgive. We all have the power to forgive. You were given that in your baptism when you were anointed as another Christ. We're called to forgive our spouses. We're called to forgive our partners or our children, our parents. And children, forgive your parents. And our siblings and our friends and our co-workers and our priests and our deacons, our church, our institutions and governments, and anyone and everyone who has ever violated us in this life. You know, probably the most important and most difficult person to forgive is, yeah, you, yourself. Very few of us want to go there, but that's what Jesus emphasizes and taught. You can't forgive someone else if you can't forgive yourself. Very few of us want to go there. No matter what we have done, God loves us and forgives us with unconditional love and unending mercy. This was what he told his disciples. And it's the same message that's repeated to Saint Mary Faustina. And this is what Jesus is telling us to do today, here and now. My brothers and sisters in Christ, Christ tells us through today's gospel that those trespasses, those debts, you know, which we were willing to let go of, the ones in which we forgive ourselves and others, they're forgiven. They're forgiven. They're released from us, from our being. But while those that we hold on to, that we bind, that we retain, will end up eroding our well-being, thereby blocking our relationship in all of our relationships with God and with one another if we retain them. You can't retain them. So on this Divine Mercy Sunday, let us all ask for the trust, and may we trust in God's mercy and show that mercy to one another. May we be filled with the graces of the Holy Spirit and step outside of our personal locked doors, our fears, so that we may have the strength to forgive everyone who has harmed us in this life, most of all, ourselves.